This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday, on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. And Brian, this is a unique setup for us. Ask my power supply, my battery, but you know what? We knew this was draft day. And we weren't just going to deprive people. So I'm on my phone. You're in a side studio somewhere here at the station and in the bowels of the station with Texas Rangers pennants and flags over your shoulder today. But we wanted to make sure that we were here for you guys and ready to talk some NFL draft. Brian Broaddus, how you doing? Is it like Christmas morning for you?
Happy times, Robert. I have to admit, I love the draft. You know I do. I appreciate everybody that's worked so hard on it. With our partnership with the Dallas Cowboys, DallasCowboys.com, what we've got going at 105.3 The Fan, yourself, then, you know, with Zach Wolchuk. And I'm just really looking forward to it. Every draft has a unique tone to it, and I don't think this one will be any different when we kick this thing off tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot for us to unpack here, a lot to look forward to. There's also some developments on the free agency marketplace with the Dallas Cowboys and a potential reunion for Ezekiel Elliott. We'll get into that in just a second. First, I am going to have to say, not only is it draft day, Brian, but it is also the start of regional playoffs in Texas high school softball. And I know the girls over at Keller High School, who I'm repping today, they are all big fans of 105 Through the Fan, big fans of Love the Star. So just want to give them a shout out, wish them good luck as they start the playoffs tonight. I'm going to need them to win this weekend so I can get past draft weekend and be able to go to the next game. But, you know, we absolutely love them over there. Big time supporters. Jessica Paul's one of the coaches. Her husband, Aaron, is a big time listener, a big fan of yours specifically, Brian. So good luck to the girls there at Keller High School softball. And it's an exciting day with an exciting announcement, Brian. We have a new partner, a new broadcast partner here at Love of the Star. It is Chill Boys. Self-care begins with underwear, and that's what Chill Boys is doing. So we've got it set up for you guys. You can go to chillboys.com, enter the promo code STAR. You'll get 15% off. It's if you've ever said to yourself, I'd like to get into Bobby Belt's underwear, you can do that now. You have the ability to do that. Or even your socks. They got socks too, Brian.
They do, Bob. And I'll tell you what, I've already got some samples of some of their products. The socks are outstanding. Matter of fact, I'm wearing a pair of them right now. Super comfortable, cushy, you know, the no seams to catch toenails and things like that. I mean, it's perfect, man. I mean, you don't want to get those toenails caught, and these socks are perfect for that. Their underwear is outstanding. A couple of pairs have worn. They're very comfortable. We get to the summertime months. You know, you don't want just underwear clinging to you and all that. This is very roomy, very comfortable. They got great colors. I got a couple of a pair of purple ones. You know me, my love for LSU, so I have to have purple underwear. They're always going to say, hey, Broadus is wearing it all the way down to his underwear. Well, Chill Boys allowed me to do that. So thank them for coming on board. Great company. Love working with them here so far, and they're going to be a great partner of ours for Love of the Star going forward.
Yeah, big-time football fans. We're excited to partner with them. Again, if you've ever wanted to get into our underwear, you can do that. You can slide them on yourself. That's over at chillboys.com, promo code STAR. Brian, let's talk some logistics. Let's talk some football. Before we get into draft specifics, let's talk about the report that came out on Wednesday that a potential reunion is on deck. This from Ian Rappaport. The Cowboys met with old friend and former Pro Bowl running back Zeke Elliott and agent Rocky Arsenault today about a potential return to Dallas, per me and Tom Pelissero. The former NFL rushing champ and his old team don't have a deal just yet, but they are in talks. Your thoughts on the idea of an Ezekiel Elliott return, what that would look like, what role that would play, and would it have any impact to you in your mind on how they approach the draft over this weekend?
No change in the draft, because I still feel like they need an elusive back, even with the backs that they currently have on their roster. I felt like they need a guy that's got a little wiggle that can make people miss. We're going to see those kind of backs in probably the first couple of rounds when you get with Brooks from Texas, Benson from Florida State. You know, there's some other backs in this draft too. Lloyd from USC is another one that's got that little bit of that elusiveness, the wiggle. Doesn't change at all. I did when those reports were coming out, I did contact a couple of members over at the front office with the Cowboys and say, hey, is there any validity to this? And they said, yeah, we're just in the stage of talking right now. So, yeah, they're you know, the thing about Ezekiel Elliott, he loves to play football. He's a great teammate. You're probably going to get him on the right price for what he wants to do. And if you pair him with somebody else, I think this could be something that could be a very good match. I think he went to New England. I remember being on radio in New England during training camp, and you know, when the Patriots were talking about signing him, and I was like, you know, all the things I just talked about him as a teammate and, you know, his competitiveness and all this. And sure enough, he went to New England, and he did a nice job for them. He really did. On a bad football team, he played very hard. He had some production. And so, you know, in a specific kind of role, I think Ezekiel Elliott could help you with the split back situation. So I see why the Cowboys are doing what they're doing.
Do you think bringing in Zeke would be about a tandem, or is this more about, no, Zeke is going to fill a very specific role where he would have snaps in certain situations, but this isn't even a two-headed monster. This is, we're bringing you in for culture, for tone setting, for edge, for short yardage, but there's not going to be a designed plan to get you 20 snaps a game or anything like that. You're here to fill very specific game situations.
Ezekiel Elliott was at the time when he was here, one of the most complete backs that you could find. When you talked about his ability to run, the toughness he showed, the ability to catch the football, blitz pickup is just got so much better with him. You know, there's that toughness element to him. So, yeah, I think you're right. Do you have a featured guy? Yes. Do you have a role for Ezekiel Elliott? Yes, you do. He's going to be a guy that, like I said, maybe on third down, maybe you're thinking about, okay, this is an obvious passing situation, and you don't want to put a rookie running back in that blitz pickup situation when people are screaming with 6-7 guys coming on the blitz, and somebody has to sort it out, and you got to have a guy pick it up. Ezekiel Elliott can do that for you. So I think you're absolutely right. There's going to be specific roles for him, and you know, the short yardage, the goal line stuff, all very much in play for him as well.
Did you ever have, because I think one thing you can say about Ezekiel Elliott without question is the work ethic, the football character, like all those things are off the charts. That's a guy who loves to practice, who loves to set the tone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much of potentially bringing him in here would also be about, hey, let's have a solid mentor to teach practice habits and how to be a professional football player Monday to Sunday for whoever the running back is that we draft and bring in here? Because right now there's not a ton of experience in that running back room.
No, not at all. And there probably is a time in 2016 and 17 you wouldn't have thought that Ezekiel Elliott would have developed into a guy that would be a mentor for packs on how to prep and how to be ready to go. But yeah, here he is in this this stage of his career. He's always been a quality teammate. I have never heard anybody say anything poorly or negative from the staff to the equipment guys, trainers, doctors. Anybody that's ever spoke about Ezekiel Elliott had said always positive things about him. So to your point, absolutely, that's an avenue that they can surely travel.
So that is where things stand with Ezekiel Elliott. Look, I think that a reunion would make a lot of sense for a lot of people here, especially when we talk about, again, edge, toughness, practice intensity. Brian, you saw it firsthand working at the Star. They legitimately lost something in Dallas when Dez Bryant left. They lost something Monday to Friday. They lost something on the practice field. They lost something in terms of that competitive spirit and that juice. And not that there weren't guys who had it, but Dez was a tone setter for that. And Zeke is a guy who's been that in a lot of ways. He loves practice. He loves going out there and competing and loves the intensity of it all. So I do think that if there's any concern about intensity, edge, anything else with this football team, Zeke on a minimum contract or whatever else it would be, that makes some sense to me in terms of if you're trying to, you know, repair a couple things in terms of culture or in terms of some of the intangibles that you maybe feel like you're lacking on your football team. Okay, so the Cowboys had their pre-draft press conference this week. Mike McCarthy, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones. It was quite a spectacle. And it was something, Brian, I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit. If you as a fan, your goal when you've been yelling from the rooftops about how angry you are, you've been talking about all in my ass or like whatever else, all in, comma, my ass. Let's be clear about that, Brian. But if you're one of those people who has that perspective, if your goal in those complaints was to be heard and to catch the attention of Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and just like, hey, I want them to know I'm unhappy, that became evident on earlier this week when they held their pre-draft press conference. Mission this is accomplished. As aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is as aware as this front office has ever been. And I think that you've mentioned before, they're not going to fire themselves. They're you know, they're in charge of those positions because they you know, own the team. But so they don't have the normal pressure of like, you're going to lose your job. But if you want to talk about having them feel the pressure or the heat of just the intensity of negative commentary and opinion, Tuesday confirmed that they are hearing you. And this is as much pressure as I think they visibly shown that they're feeling from the fan base that I can remember in a really long time.
A lot of things happened in that press conference that we haven't seen before. And you're absolutely right to identify that the fans' disdain for the way that things are currently being run, the frustration levels. I was talking with a dear friend of mine last night. Matter of fact, a guy that absolutely loves you as a broadcaster, you know, my buddy Prince Faisal.
Thank you. I love Prince Faisal.
And Prince Faisal he's a huge Bobby Belt fan. And he was talking about, and I said, once I got past all the niceties that he was saying about you, we had an actual conversation that meant something. But the thing with, you can, a longtime Cowboy fan, he goes back as a young man himself when they were going to Super Bowls. He was traveling from overseas to go to Super Bowls and be a part of that. He loves Jerry Jones. He respects Stephen Jones. But even now, there's a sense of frustration with him. And, you know, and he has a dear friendship with those guys. That's how I met him through the Jones family. His disdain right now is the fact that it's, you know, I'm watching playoff hockey at 11:30 at night, and he's been up all night thinking about the Cowboys and, you know, what he heard in that press conference. So I think you're clearly on to something. I think they were somewhat defensive in several areas about the way that they operate. We saw something that was very unusual from Stephen Jones, maybe a little out of character from him, that him going after agents, pointing the finger at agents, you know, that, hey, you know, that it takes, you know, Jerry kind of talking about a situation where he's going, you know, I'd like to see more action. I'd like to see more leaves. I don't think it's so much about the players. I think it's about the agents. And I say that in a way that agents are now trained in a way to, when you're dealing with the Cowboys, if you do nothing, eventually they are going to give you what you want. So, you know, we saw what Detroit was able to do with their two players, with St. Brown and, you know, Penei Sewell. You know, that agent's deal, I think there's a lot of agents that really do like Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones. But if you're going to negotiate with them, why do it early? Why negotiate with them? Because eventually what's going to happen, the longer you wait, the better chance you got your deal happening. So, you know, Stephen was pointing that out, and we've never seen him do that before. We've never seen him call out the agent community that way, in a way where he was saying, oh, they talk, there's numbers back and forth. You know, if we talk, it's collusion. And, you know, I mean, I'm just putting those words in. But that's what happens in a front office. You call somebody else, it could be deemed as collusion. And, you know, you don't want that to happen to you. But these agents, they're calling each other and like, hey, where are you at on this deal? Where are you here? You know, so there's a lot of that that's going on. But it was a very, for being a draft, and I'm using air quotes here if you're just listening,
yeah,
for a draft press conference, it was very much it was very, in a way, defensive. And it was, it spelled out the frustrations not only that they have, but the understanding of the fan base's frustrations as well.
Yeah, I think that, again, if your goal as a fan and expressing your frustration is you want to be heard, you've been heard. There's no doubt about it. Now you may want certain reactions that maybe they're not going to, but just know that they are not. They haven't been able to just sit up in the ivory tower and block out this noise. They are very much aware of it. But like Brian said, not a lot of draft talk, a lot of talk about contracts and some other things. Right. All in was a very popular phrase, of course. But we're here to give you the draft talk, even if you didn't get it necessarily on Tuesday. You're listening to the Love. Go ahead.
Real quick, Nick Harris did get a draft question in for us.
I did. I heard yeah, him.
So
yeah.
Thank God for Nick Harris here. Yeah, absolutely.
I got to imagine he felt a little like, huh, is this even, this feels a little out of place, even though this is a draft press conference right now. You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, Brian, it is draft night. It is first round of the NFL draft. Cowboys pick at 24. I've got a couple different things that I'm monitoring ahead of the ahead of where the Cowboys are picking at 24. And I kind of want to kick around some of these thoughts with you as we head into this night. Before we get into those different angles and kind of what we're going to be watching in advance and then get into the mailbag, I'm curious just your sense heading into this draft of where the Cowboys heads are at, maybe what they're thinking, what they're anticipating, you know, how much of it they, you know, is it a thing where they feel like they have eight different avenues and they could go down any one of them? Or do you think they generally have it narrowed down? Or is it like, hey, this has got to kind of play out in front of us because we're just as, you know, curious to see what plays out in the first 23 picks as you guys are. What's your general sense of where the Cowboys are at heading into this draft?
I think there's an element of all three things that you asked there, Robert. And the first element I'll address is that they've got some things narrowed down. And I think they've got some ideas that if certain players happen to be on that board when they pick, then they're more than willing to hand that card in at 24. What I was hearing this morning driving here to do our podcast was Green Bay, who is behind you, is interested in moving back. So this is the scenario that you need to worry about a little bit if you're the Dallas Cowboys. Do people go to Green Bay before they go to you for a trade back situation?
Yeah.
Are you going to be in a point where you're interested in going back? You always worry about going back and getting the value for your pick. That's the thing that concerns you the most. But how many of those opportunities you're going to have? We kind of feel like that aggressive teams, Kansas City, San Francisco, Buffalo, aggressive teams. Don't think Baltimore's going to come up. Baltimore's a team that traditionally, if you listen to our platforms and our shows, Baltimore's a team that traditionally will sit there and an excellent Hall of Fame player falls right in their lap every single time in the way they operate. So to me, I don't think Baltimore's a team that's going to move. I'll be interested to see what Arizona does at 27. How are they? But the thing you have to worry about, there's two things. With Minnesota in front of you, that could be somebody else's pick, especially if Minnesota does a deal to go get a quarterback. That could be somebody totally different that maybe you haven't thought about. So that's a concern. And then now you have to worry about the Packers behind you. I think the Packers are looking at some of the similar guys you are. I think Packers are more on cornerbacks. And I'd say cornerbacks, not quarterbacks, cornerbacks. But they're looking at linebackers, cornerbacks, and then the potentially to bail out of there if they can. So that's a little bit of a dicey situation. All of a sudden, Green Bay gets a deal. Somebody calls Green Bay, and that's that one team that's trading up. And all of a sudden, they don't go to you. They go to Green Bay right behind you, and you have no place to go. So you have to be prepared to make a pick on this clock. I think they've got it narrowed down to probably three players. I know from the fact that, you know, in talking to some people around the league, and then also kind of getting a little bit of a vibe of what might be going on in the Cowboy war room, Jackson Powers Johnson, the center, is not – I am higher on him than they are, okay? I think there's a lot of teams that have him
and is this,
in a lower
is this,
area than where maybe a guy like myself has him.
Is this an instance to you where this is related to the medicals? Or are you saying apart from the medicals, they just don't like the player as much as you do?
I think there's several factors that are going through this. The medical is part of this. So to me, I would be a little bit worried. Like, you know, we've been talking, and I know I have. I'm just being honest with you guys right now. I've talked a lot. Powers Johnson is my favorite center on the board. But if Powers Johnson's there, I don't think the Dallas Cowboys take him. That's just my gut feeling as we sit here Thursday before the draft. So now it turns into, okay, what about Graham Barton? You know, does Graham Barton get to you? You know, Futanu, the Washington tackle, does he get down to you? Is it going to turn into Guyton? You know, they're probably got this thing narrowed down on names that would be there. And if not that, then they're probably going to try and bail and go to the bottom there and see if they could pick something. But I'm just warning you, Green Bay's in that same mode you are right now. And if somebody goes to Green Bay and gets a deal done earlier and it's that one team that's going up, that could be a little bit of a, hey, hang on to your rear. We're gonna have to sit here and make a pick.
I think you have some great names there. You know, Troy Fatanu at Washington, Graham Barton, Tyler Guyton. I think all those make a lot of sense for what the Cowboys are looking at here. Brian, let's cover over a couple of these things that I'm watching heading up to pick 24. I'll get your thoughts on these and we'll touch them around. Number one to me, I think the thing we're all watching tonight, probably most prominently, is just where are the Graham Barton landmines? Yeah. Does Graham Barton make it down to you at 24? So, Brian, that'll be my first question to you. Your anticipation, there's some buzz. Some people are saying he could go in the teens. Others are saying, no, he should be there. In general, what is your expectation for tonight? Do you expect Graham Barton to get to 24?
I really don't, Robert. Not at this point in time. I just, you know, you mentioned the landmines along the way. The one that seems very clear is Pittsburgh. And then there's the Miami one that, you know, you're starting to hear a little bit of buzz. The fact that Powers Johnson, I don't believe he's the number one center on a lot of boards. And now if you're going to go get a center, you know, and I'm not saying that Powers Johnson won't get drafted, but I don't think he's going to get picked in that area that we've that when we started this journey in January, we were talking about him. Like, there was times where, oh man, he's going to go to the Dolphins, he's going to the Steelers, he's going to Philadelphia. You were hammering him at those spots. And now I think Graham Barton is taking over as the spot guy at those spots for centers.
Do you think Frazier could go ahead of Jackson Powers Johnson at this point?
There's a possibility. There's a possibility there. And I think if Dallas were to trade back, I would be interested. I know we've talked about the BYU tackle a lot. Maybe the guy that's getting a lot of play, not only, I believe, from the Cowboys, but people in the back end of that draft, is our tackle from Arizona is getting a lot of play in that.
Jordan Morgan?
Morgan, yeah. And people are thinking, well, he could play tackle, he could play guard. Keep an eye on Morgan from Arizona. In at the end of the draft or trade back situations, you know, I again – Cowboys and Packers seem to be looking at the same kind of guy, except they're looking at cornerbacks more than you are. So that's something you just got to – but they're looking at Morgan and guys like that too. So this could be, you know, this could be a little bit dicey when it gets – if you're looking at that particular player.
I think I'm in agreement with you. I don't think Graham Barton makes it down to 24. Wow. If he does – I think that's an easy pick for them. We'll have to see that. Here's the next question for you, Brian. When does the run on offensive linemen begin for you? I feel like Joe Alt to Tennessee at 7 has been a very popular pick, and that's not one that was ever going to slide. But there's some question about, okay, in what order does Fashanu, Fuaga, Fatanu, like what order do these guys go? Where does this start? It looks like you're starting at about 9 with the Bears. That's the earliest next domino to fall.
What about did Daniel Jeremiah mock draft Latham to the Chargers at 5?
He did. I wonder if what that is he is anticipating a trade to 12, and he didn't want to mock the trade, but he did want to mock the player.
Okay.
And so he put Latham at 5, but I mean, he could absolutely go earlier than that. But if you start that run on tackles, could start as early as the Bears. And then there's some landmines there of Raiders, Saints. I think some people have suggested Seahawks could be in on that. We already know Pittsburgh, potentially Miami, all these different areas. Where do you think the run begins on the offensive linemen? And at what point does the run start where it jeopardizes what the Cowboys want to do? Like, if it starts at 9, does that jeopardize things? Or if it starts at 15, do you feel like, hey, somebody will get to them because it started too late?
If it starts late, they've got a better shot, of course. That's just logic. But if this thing goes early, I think that you have to worry about that a little bit. The thing with, you know, these guys, I mean, I think Dane Brugel and I disagree on this. I think it's a deep class of guys overall. I mean, if Dallas were to grab a center, say they do get Barton or Frazier, you know, on a trade back or whatever, you know, I think there's some other tackles that you could get probably in that third round that could, you know, I like Rosengarten from Washington. I think there's a little bit, if you maybe miss out on that guy, that you would say, okay, I'm comfortable with these other guys. I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not like if you miss out on a defensive tackle, you're probably worked a little bit. You know, you're probably, as we'd say, probably screwed a little bit because it just doesn't stretch.
Yeah.
So any early run, it could be a problem. But I kind of feel like that just talking to guys around the league, it seems like the consensus guy that's there is Guyton. It just seems like every time it's like, yeah, I ask about, well, hey, is Latham going to be there? No. I had a guy tell me, a general manager tell me, because I threw out some names, you know, we were talking on the draft show, and Nick Harris was from DallasCowboys.com. He threw out Latham's name, and I threw it out there just to a general manager friend of mine. I said, Latham, 24. He goes, no way. He ain't getting to you at 24. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, I mean, that's something.
Oh, I think the league is very high on Latham. I think there's a lot of teams that would like Latham over Olufashinu.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right.
And it's part of that pedigree too. I think around 12, if you get a Chargers trade down to 12, and then you hit Chargers, and if the Raiders are wiped on quarterback options and the top three receivers are gone, and then you've got the Saints, I think you can start a run there where you're boom, 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 and that makes things a little bit dicey. Brian, one of the things Jane Slater had talked about, she tweeted on Thursday, was she said, look, there might present an opportunity to trade up and get an offensive lineman if enough quarterbacks go early enough. So, Brian, the other thing we got to watch here is how many quarterbacks go ahead of the Cowboys, because I think there is starting to build a sense of Penix could go in the top 12 here.
Yeah, that's the thing that, to me, I'm looking, you know, Michael Penix, I have it at 20 on my board. But if you talk about the quarterbacks, you mentioned Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. You know, now you're starting to go down and down and go through these quarterbacks, and then I got Penix in there, and then, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, with our with the Michigan, you know, with
JJ McCarthy.
With McCarthy. We'll see what happens with him. You know, I'm totally on board with that. You know, let all those quarterbacks go. Well, let some wide receivers go. Let some corners go. You know, it's going to be, I have a feeling there's going to be some really, probably the one defensive player that will probably go early is Murphy from Texas. That would be this draft reminds me very much of, in a way, if I've got this right, in 2005 when we drafted DeMarcus Ware, it was like all these offensive players went ahead of us for like 10 picks. It was just crazy. These running backs were going off the board. Cadillac Williams and all these guys were going.
Ronnie Brown.
Yeah, all these guys were going. And then all of a sudden, the first defensive player to us was DeMarcus. So maybe the same thing is going to happen in this draft. We have all these offensive guys going. But yeah, if you could get Knicks to go too, that would be one that, you know, I think everybody would be like, all right, you know, hey, that's one more guy, you know, coming down your direction. But if I think Dallas were to go up, and I don't see, they did so much work on Fuaga from Oregon State. And I just don't see it. I mean, visits at the combine, you know, 30 visits. I mean, all these things, they're doing all this work. He seems like the one guy that I would trade up for. You know, maybe I don't see them trading up for Barton, but if you do that, you probably have to get ahead of you have to make a small little jump up ahead of Pittsburgh, I think, is where I'd kind of start that.
I think, Brian, if you're looking at who are, you mentioned there, if Knicks goes, that's a big boost to the Cowboys, because that's one more name that helps push things down the board. I think if we're talking about names, like who are names like that who, like, hey, there's a chance they go. But if they go, it's going to be beneficial to you. I think we got to watch a couple different names ahead of you at 24. Bo Nix is one, like you mentioned. Yeah. Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas, the receiver at LSU.
Yes, yes.
I think probably Johnny Newton at Illinois.
Johnny Newton, Now, okay, I was hearing some whispers. I was hearing some whispers about Johnny Newton that the Cowboys were all over him at that workout when he worked out at Illinois. And so I'm throwing it out there as
But ultimately, I think that if you're talking about trying to get Barton down to you, Newton going would help, especially.
Yeah.
Like Miami is a team that's been connected to Johnny Newton. That would obviously help.
I think Latu would help too.
Latu would, because I don't think the Cowboys would pick Latu.
I don't think they would either.
If you could get like Verse, you expect to go ahead of you. If you could get a Chop Robinson or a Darius Robinson somewhere in the top 23.
Yeah.
These are the types of names that matter. If you could get somebody to take a Cooper DeJean somewhere in the top 23. Again, those are the types of names
I didn't even mention, because I've got Drake May so low, you know. I'd throw him in there. I think the Packers behind you, I think if the Packers got stuck, they would pick Cooper DeJean. I think if they got stuck. They're very, very interested in him.
Now, last one before we get to the mailbag here.
Another one, by the way, and Edrin Cooper might be a guy that I know you might talk about him, but if he were to go ahead of you, that potentially could push a guy to you as well.
Yeah, I think you're it's a half pen throw. It's half serious, half upset. So here's what I think you're looking at here, Brian. What is the dream scenario here for the Cowboys, in your opinion? What is the disaster scenario? Because for me, I look at two things here. One, dream scenario to me is Fatanu, Barton, Guyton, like those guys somehow get pushed down to you at 24. Mm-hmm. Receivers go early, corners go early, whatever else. Those guys get pushed down to you, and you're in a position that you were in when you picked Micah Parsons, where you said, we can move back, and Parsons or Slater will be there, and we can pick up extra picks. So I think that that's a dream scenario where you're able to move back a little bit, still get one of those guys, and add capital. And I think the disaster scenario is you get that run on offensive linemen early. People don't take Nicks. They don't take Penix. Brian Thomas doesn't go off the board. People have questions about the corners. Quinyon Mitchell, do we think that he, do we love what he did at Toledo? Is Nate Wiggins too small? Those sort of things push those positions down to you to where then you're at 24, you can't bail out, and you're looking at taking a big reach or picking maybe like a Jonathan Brooks, somebody who you would not normally take at 24.
No, I think you're absolutely right there. I think everything that you just walked us through would be that your guy's not there. The dream scenario with Good was those three names who were talking about. Barton, I think, would be the number one on every. Actually, I think Fatanu would be the number one on everybody's list. Then
yes.
Barton, then Guyton, if that's the case.
I think you have it nailed completely.
Okay, if that's the case, then the disaster would be none of the names are there, and you can't move. That's the disaster. That all of a sudden Green Bay traded behind you out, and the one team that came to Green Bay was the only team that's going up from the back end of the draft. You know,
so that's the concern. You get stuck, and then you're not able to.
Yeah, you're going to have to entice Green Bay because Green Bay's got multiple twos, and I believe they have multiple threes. So you're going to have to if they're going to go down pretty far, you're going to have to entice them. Where I think Dallas is a little bit more open because they don't have that four. Dallas is a little bit more open to, yeah, sure, we'll take it. Let's go. Green Bay might hold you up. And maybe you get lucky that Green Bay tries to hold somebody up and then somebody calls Dallas. But see, Dallas and Green Bay, I'll say it again, same similar types of needs with the exception of their hunting corners. So keep that in mind.
Stephen Jones said, when you are working the draft room phones for trades, he's like, it's almost always somebody calling to come up to you. You're not generally calling saying, I want to go back.
Right.
You need somebody to be enticed. And so we'll see how that breaks out for the Cowboys. You're listening to
I'm interrupting again. No. The thing that happens, and I've done the phone things too in my career, the thing that you have to do is you have to let people know, like today, this morning, as you and I are doing this broadcast, you have to get on that phone and call every single team and tell them that you're interested in moving. You just have to. You just throw it out there and you say, listen, if our guy's not there, we're going to move. But if your guy's there, call us. We'll be available. We'll make it worth your while. That's the kind of – you got to throw that kind of chum in the water to get these teams to be willing to know, hey, Dallas is – you mark those pro guys mark on their sheet and they say, Dallas is a team you can go to. And then they tell the general manager that when the time comes, and that's how you make those calls.
You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our Dean Julia Love of the Star mailbag. We're turning things over to our dear sweet listeners for their thoughts, their questions, their topics here. First question here from at Not To Be Trite. I know this gentleman. This is Mr. Mike White, even though it's not displayed there. I already know that's Mike. So hello, Mike. Thank you for listening. He said, I think folks would like to know about a trade back when it comes to them trading out of the first. They love the fifth-year option. Brian, how much of a potential deal breaker would it be if they said, nah, if we got to go even to the very top of the second round, we don't want to lose that fifth year option. No. Is a fifth year option a deal breaker for them, do you think?
I don't think it is. Everybody likes the fifth year option. With a fifth year option, to me, really works as if you got a quarterback. You know, everybody else, I feel like kind of, you know, that you could kind of find a way to work around things. It's nice to have in your pocket. I thought there was a time where everybody was like, yeah, I got to have the fifth year, got to have the fifth year. I think more teams are like, you know what, if we have to make a deal, like you say you go to the Commanders and pick up pick 73, you know, to go to their spot and pick up pick 73. To me, getting a player at 73 and 87 is better than having a fifth year option. That's just my two cents.
I'm with you on that, too. I think a lot of times, like with CeeDee Lamb and potentially with Micah Parsons and things like that, it's just given them a reason to put deals off rather than give them security.
Yep.
So I'm with you on that 100%. Next question here, Brian. This is from T-Jax ZI. And so T-Jax is asking, or more giving us a platform here, give us some hope that Will McClay and the scouts can save this draft. What do you say,
they
Brian?
Can. No, the one thing that I know about these guys, this guys and gals, they've been together a long time. You know, they have a track record of having success, maybe to the point where their front office, where their ownership puts so much pressure on them, but, you know, they find ways to succeed. We'll see what happens with the last draft. I mean, that wasn't probably one that, you know, I mean, you got overshown hurt. He could have been a guy that could have contributed, you know, been a starter, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, the draft doesn't look as bad. The thing with Schoonmaker, you know, I mean, I watched the tape. You watched the tape. Schoonmaker played better at Michigan than he played here.
So yep.
The hope I have is, though, they when nobody thought that Tyler Smith was worth a damn and was a holder and a penalty guy, they drafted him. Drafted him despite what their offensive line coach even thought about him. You know, Joe Philbin. So these guys and gals, they know what they're doing. And you know, and I have full faith in them. If you're a Cowboy fan, you should have full faith that Will McClay, the scouting department, put together a board and a stack that can go to battle these next 3 days and replenish a lot of these players that you lost.
Yeah, I think that consistently one of the things we've seen since Will McClay took over the draft in 2014 was the Zach Martin draft, right?
Right.
So since Will took over the draft in 2014, I think consistently what you see is when you take the player that the Cowboys selected, if you look at who was the next player picked at that position within relative proximity, like within 20 picks. So it's not like, oh, they picked somebody in the first round and the next one went three, you know, two rounds later. I think that what you see is they've got a consistent track record that hits, and that's Will, that's the guys he's put in place at, like, you know, just under him. So
yeah.
Mitch LaPointe, Chris Vaughn, those guys right there.
Yep.
Chris Hall does a really good job. They've got great national scouts, Ross Winchy, Klein Kubiak, the area scouts, Justin Stuckey, who's been here for forever. Sam Garza, who I know you've worked with. Long time. Eric Ellingworth, Brett Maxey, you know, Bo Tolliver. Like, they've got guys who have done really great jobs and are in sync with the coaching staff and understand what does the coaching staff want. We're going to go find that for you. And so I think that if there's one area you can be confident in, it's that they're going to find the right players to fit what the coaching staff wants and needs. And they've consistently done it. Was last year, does last year look like a great class so far? No.
Not right now, no.
But I mean, That's also maybe what change. Happens when you
bank. Change. Yeah.
It's also what happens when you bank so heavily on the idea of, hey, save us every year. Is that some you're going to naturally the numbers are going to say you're going to miss and they can't really afford many misses. The margins are so thin. So they're going to need another one. But they're going to need another rabbit out of the hat here. But I mean, this is a staff that's done it before. This is a staff that got you Tony Pollard on day three, Tyler Biadasz on day three, got you Deron Bland on day three. They've done the work to bring you those types of players. All right, Brian, question from the Landry Shift. Three positions you guys would most like to see filled on the first 2 days.
Center, tackle, running back.
Okay, so I'm almost there with you. Center, running back, linebacker is mine.
Linebacker, absolutely could be. Yeah, yeah.
If you could pick up an extra pick on day two, with a move back, what's the fourth position you're working in?
Linebacker.
Any question for you about safety? Technique.
Who's your fourth position? Because, like you said, if you got the extra pick, I might even look at a three technique. I know McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M is a guy I've kind of targeted, but maybe that extra pick that you have, if it's a late three, maybe that's your linebacker. Maybe that's
center. I go center, running back, linebacker, and then my fourth would be safety.
I think the running back room stretches a little bit. I think
it does
stretches. That one to me, if you say you got into and you don't have a four, but if you got that extra, if you got an extra pick, I wouldn't mind either. You know, I think the second round actually, Bobby, could come down to a running back or a linebacker. To your point,
yeah,
the pick 56.
That does it for us here today on the Love of the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It is draft day. We are so excited. Again, we will have reaction for you after the draft. You can find us on DallasCowboys.com tonight or on the 105 Through the Fan stream. You can look for that in the Odyssey app. But boy, it's you get that nervous energy every year. You get the nervous energy around this time, but it's going to be a long couple days, but it's going to be enjoyable. Can't wait to jump into it with you, Brian, and with Zach Wolchuk, our teammate, and the great folks over at DallasCowboys.com. So for Brian Broaddus, I'm Bobby Velt. We will talk to you guys again when they have a number one pick.